1 Timothy chapter 4 again. I'm going to review it for those that just need a quick reminder of what it all is, what all we've gone through here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the series that we've been going through. I'm going to read the verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We're on the next to last one. We're on in faith. I'm going to review really quick, if you're taking notes. What example are you setting here? And this is what we're talking about, the example. And number one, the end word is your doctrine in the Scripture, the example you're setting in that. In conversation is your daily speech. In charity is your decency towards society. In spirit is your distinct spirit. And we covered that last week. You, your personal spirit. Are you saved? You lost? If you are saved, what kind of spirit do you have? Tonight, this is in faith, your devotion or dependence on our Savior. And I'm just amazed how God puts things together. And then last of all, next week, Lord willing, well, I may change for Christmas next week, but if I don't, then we'll do deportment in society. But I may save that for right before New Year's. So it's amazing to me, this example in faith, devotion or dependence on your Savior, on our Savior. It's amazing to me how God puts stuff together. See, this is what happens when you read your Bible, and you know, and I got to admit, I've not been doing it like I should be, but last night, I got there last night in bed, and I popped it open, and as soon as I did, read Matthew chapter 8, and that's where we're going, Matthew chapter 8, God said, that's it, that's right there, and I said, Lord, I can't even remember right now off the top of my mind what it was next, that it was in faith, but God told me, as soon as I read this, He said, this is where I want you to preach tomorrow night. And sure enough, that's what He's talking about here. Matthew chapter number 8. He's talking about faith in Matthew chapter 8. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter number 8 tonight. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13. And I'm going to give you four things about faith here of this man. Matthew chapter number 8, verses 1 through 13. When He was come down from the mount, great multitudes followed Him. Now that's important. It's amazing, ain't it, how great multitudes followed the Lord at different times, but it was individuals that stood out. Different individuals, and sometimes they weren't even in the multitudes. We started this 3.5 years ago. The ones that are still here were not in the multitude that was here. That's what God can do. Those that followed the Lord and great multitudes followed Him at different times. Some, they even wanted Him to be king at different times. Multitudes, and I think we've seen that a lot in the last 2 years, are easily tossed about by every wind of doctrine, by every little thing. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, the last 2 years of how easily society is manipulated. Mask work. Masks don't work. Masks do work. Now we know masks didn't work. We all, you know, I mean, just all the different things. But here it says he came down from the mountain and great multitudes followed Him. But the first one here is a leopard, and we're not going to look at him. But it's amazing that great multitudes followed Him. But verse 2 says, and behold, there came a leopard and worshipped Him. See the difference? You see what the difference was? Some followed Jesus. The right ones worship Jesus. Leopard came and worshiped Him and said, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. You see, so this chapter here starts out with faith even of the leopard. He said, I know, Lord, if it's your will, Lord, you can make me clean. Not only can you make me clean, I believe you can make me whole. Jesus put forth His hand and what did He do? He did something they're not supposed to. He touched Him. Oh boy, that was like, that's right there is right next to touching a dead body for the Jewish religion, for the for their religion. Touching a leper. In fact, touching a leper is probably worse.
Isn't that how you get supposed to get it?
By touching. That's what they were. They were isolated. They isolated them when they were leper. You weren't to come near them. Remember that? They were to pass by on the other side and they were to holler what? Unclean, unclean. They were to stay away. They were to stay away from you. You didn't have to stay away from them. They were supposed to stay away from you. But this man had faith in God. And we're not even looking at him, but God immediately touched my heart and said, "Hey, this is it. This is where I want you to preach." And he says, Lord, God touched him and said, "I will." See that God does, you know, we think that, well, God doesn't want to answer my prayers. God wants to answer your prayers, but it's got to be in His will. I don't know why this Brother Marlowe is taking a step back. I'm begging God, Lord, touch that man, because I think of myself, Lord, just a few years older. Much as we eat out sometimes, man, I don't know if he got it out of that. I mean, he could have. You could have got it from home, but chances are he got it from eating out. And now he's in a hospital and they left him for dead. And so that's why I've been begging God, because I see myself there. He said, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." And I forgot to look that up, and so forgive me. I was going to look that up to go along with it, and it just slipped through my mind, and I'm sorry. Because I'm assuming, I'd say that whatever the testimony is, I bet you that represents the Lord in some way, shape, or form. I about guarantee you that it does. But here's what we're looking at now. We're looking at verses 5. So the multitude followed him, but only one worshipped him. But here's what verse 5 says. When Jesus was entered to Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Do you see the difference? The other man worshipped him. Those are just following him, but that man worshipped him. This man, he's like, it's not enough just to follow him. Lord, I want you to do something for me. He said, "I beseech you." He's begging. I told you that's an earnest begging. Paul often used that word beseeching as earnest begging to call Christians to a place of decision. He said, a centurion came unto him beseeching him. What's that centurion? He's a Roman soldier. He's not a Jew. He's a Roman soldier. Pretty good chance he's a Gentile. Now there were some Romans, Jews like Paul, but for the most part, most likely 99% chance I'd say he's a Gentile, especially as a Roman soldier. He says he come to him beseeching him and said, "Lord, I want great wealth, Lord. Lord, I want you to make me powerful." No, he cared for this man that for a long time this what the Lord says here kind of blows my mind. I don't understand. He's saying this man has such great faith. And he says, the Lord says, "I've not seen anything like this, no, not in Israel," in verse number 10. So what is he talking about? I believe when this man says, Lord, I'm just like you. I've been set up and I have this authority. But I care for even this little servant. That man could have said, "You know what? I don't care about you. I'll just get another servant." But for some reason, this man loved his servant enough to go back into the Lord that God would touch him. That's why Jesus said, "I've not seen so great a faith, no, not in Israel." And that's why I believe this man's a Gentile. Because he didn't call him a Jew there. He calls him a... He said, "I've not seen this kind of faith." He said, "Lord, I'm just like you. I've been placed under authority. Jesus is God in the flesh, but the Father put Jesus in authority. God the Father is the one that established him and put him down here on this earth." And that servant said, "Lord, I'm just like you." He said, "I tell this servant to go, and they go. And I tell this one to come, and he comes. But Lord, I put this servant right here. This little servant that nobody cares about. Most people would say, oh, well, I'll get me another one. Lord, I'm coming to you. Will you please touch him? We heal this man right here. That's the kind of faith this man had. He was devoted and dependent upon the Savior like none other. He said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Boy, he knew who he was, didn't he? That's another way that he acknowledged the Lord. All them others, those Pharisees had Jesus over. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. This centurion came to him right in the middle of the day and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should even come to my house under my roof. He said, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Father, I pray for your touch tonight. God, you spoke to my heart even before I could remember, Lord, what was tonight. You told me this is where to preach. God, may we exhibit this kind of faith. God, the first faith we need, God's that saving faith. And Lord, if there's one in here tonight, God, there is some in here tonight that need to be saved, Father. There's no reason to tiptoe around it, God. There are some that need to be saved tonight. Young, old, whatever they may be. Save that one that's nearest hell. And Lord, those of us that are saved, God, may we be dependent and devoted to our Savior as this man was. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Four things about faith out of this chapter right here, out of these verses tonight. Four things. This man acknowledged who Jesus was. Number one, he had true faith. True faith is going to the right person. So many people think, well, I'm not worthy to go to him. Or, I'll just go to this person, or I'll go to that person. This centurion knew who he needed to go to. That's true faith. That's true faith. Knowing who you need to go to. That's your first step in salvation, is knowing who you need to go to. You need to go to the Savior. You don't need to go to a church. You need to be saved. Not necessarily in a church, but you need to be saved. You got to go to the right person. In verse number 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. He had true faith. He said, I know whom. He didn't go to the doctors. He didn't go to the Roman doctors. He didn't go, I don't even know myself at that point, what may have been the Roman religion at this point. I know that when you go through the book of Acts, you'll read about different kinds of religions and things. You know, the goddess Diana that they, I think it's the Ephesians worshipped. And there was many different gods. We know in Athens, in the book of Acts chapter 17, that they had Mars Hill. How many of you know the story of Mars Hill? There's many. If I say it, you're going to remember it. Mars Hill is where Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. They had all these different statues and monuments, and there was one to the unknown God. And Paul said, him who you ignorantly worship, him am I going to declare unto you. He's the one that made the heavens and the earth. He's the one that loved you enough that he died on Calvary's cross. This centurion exhibited true faith. He knew who he needed to believe in. He knew who he needed to go to. That's what it is. Faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You do not have it in yourself when you are born. You do not have it in yourself to be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, the Bible says. It is a gift of God, least any man should boast. I'm not worthy of the grace that God gave me 22 years ago. My wife is not worthy of the grace that God gave her 18 years ago. But by faith, true faith, we went to the Savior as this centurion did. We knew who it was that could save us. We knew who it was that had paid for our sin debt. We knew who it was as this centurion that could make us whole. That's what you need. You got to quit putting it off. And you got to come to this altar. If you're here and you're not and you're lost, you got to put true faith in Jesus Christ, in the Savior. That's what example of faith here is, dependence and devotion to the Savior and on the Savior. I'm His. Brother, I'm just that little servant of that centurion. I'm just that little servant of that centurion that my Savior loved me enough to go to Calvary's cross to die for my sins so that He could make me whole. When you look at that man, when you look at that centurion, that's what he says, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm just like you. I'm a man under authority. Jesus, he understood Jesus was given authority from the Father. He understood what Jesus' purpose was. I believe he understood it more than the Jews. He understood that Jesus' purpose was to come and to die on Calvary. Can you imagine what that centurion? Can you imagine what that centurion thought on the day of Calvary? You know, we talk about those disciples that weren't there, that only one disciple was there when Jesus died on Calvary's cross. There were others that were there, and a lot of them mocking and making fun of. But maybe that centurion was there and said, that's the man that loved me enough and loved my servant enough to make him whole. That's the man that's there on that Calvary's cross for my sins. This is a hardened man to be a Roman soldier. You have to be a hardened man. We talk about this all the time. Me and my wife talk about with this EMT thing. We don't know. I'll be honest with you. We don't know how we're going to handle it the first time we really see somebody cut up or blood or whatever. Miss Dottie has told us about a situation. What was it, about 5 years ago or so? A plane crash outside of town about 5 or 7 years ago. And Miss Dottie's told us about how the man, or I think it was a man, do you remember, was it a man, and it was pulled, ripped into pieces. I'm not trying to be, but me and Crystal talk about this all the time. You know, well, we're going to be able to endure that. We don't know. We've not been around that. To be a Roman soldier, this man had to be a hardened man. See, don't you think that man's weak because he went to the Savior in true faith and asked Him for this man? That man was a hardened soldier. He probably watched so many people die. He's probably, he maybe even partook in people's execution or beatings or whatever. But he loved his servant enough and had faith in Jesus enough to go to Him. And said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak the words, and I know you'll heal my servant. God said, I'm willing. Jesus said, I'm willing. Being according to your faith, that's true faith, is going to the right person. That's what you need to have to be saved. You need to go to the right person. You got to go to Jesus. Number two, after true faith comes that testing faith. Going, not knowing the answer. In verse number 6, and he said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. He had testing faith. He didn't know whether for sure. He knew who he needed to go to. He had true faith in Jesus. That's what we have. We have true faith in Jesus and we get saved. And then what happens? We get tested, don't we? Bible says, I know the Bible says that God does not tempt anybody. But in a way, He does test us. He does test whether we're going to be faithful to Him. He says, in Romans chapter number 5 that tribulations worketh experience, or maybe it's patience. Tribulations worketh patience, experience, and experience hope. And that's what this man went there testing his faith. What if Jesus would have looked at him like he's looked at others and said, I think it's not till chapter 10 actually, of Matthew chapter 10. He said, I'm going to go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what Jesus went for. He didn't go just to save the Jew, but he went initially to the Jew because of the Jew's responsibility. He could have said, you know what? You're just an old Gentile dog. But Jesus loved him enough, and that man had faith enough, and he was testing his faith. Boy, I can tell you this, in 22 years, and I don't say that I've passed the test every time. In 22 years, my faith's been tested. In these last 4 years, this last year, my faith has been tested. But I'm still standing, and I'm still trusting in Him. I've got nobody else to trust in. Man will let you down. Husbands, wives, we'll let each other down. But Jesus won't let you down. You won't, I want this perfect marriage, and I think it exists. And, we all lived in that la-la land too before we got married, didn't we? Yeah, see, she knows. We all lived in that la-la land. And I hope you do. I hope you have a great marriage. I hope you and your husband never fight. But let me go ahead and tell you, there's a 99.9999999999% chance it's going to happen. Could you imagine the fights Adam and Eve had? It's all your fault. Her looking at him, it's all your fault. You should have been right there with me. I warned you not that. You know, imagine what their fights were like when they got kicked out. Imagine what they was fighting about when Abel got killed by Cain. Well, you're talking about testing faith. Imagine what they went through when they thought Abel was the one that Jesus was going to come through. But he died. She bore another. Imagine the faith of Abraham. Talking about testing faith. Look at Abraham. Abraham was 99 years old. I think it was. If I remember correctly, 99 years old. Is that right? When Isaac was born. Boy, that's testing faith right there. Imagine that little boy David there. Imagine that little boy David there. Man, everybody else is going, man, I ain't going up against that. David, something that dude said, God's just put it in my heart, man. I just want to do something for God. Hey, there'll be times you serve God right, there'll be times God will put a Goliath in your life where you know nobody else wants to do it, but you know God is putting in your heart to do it. What's that? That's a test of faith. That's God testing your faith. Do you have faith enough? David went out there. How big was the sword he carried? He didn't carry a sword, did he? What? He knew God had to do something. What did he carry with him? He had a shield with him, right, Maggie? No shield. He had a bunch of armor on, though, right? No. All David had, boy, that's some testing of faith. All David had was a sling, and he stopped and picked up 5 little stones. How's he going to kill a great big giant with a little bitty stone? That's testing faith there, ain't it? How about Daniel? When they set him up and throwed him into the lion's den. How about those Hebrew boys? How about those Hebrew boys? They said, we don't care what you do to us, Nebuchadnezzar. We know that our God is able to deliver. And if he don't, we'll still not serve your image. See, we look around a lot of times, and I know I've been in church. And I was in a full church of about 250 people or so. I may be wrong, maybe exaggerating. I know it's close. I went to church like that, and I kept thinking, I kept looking around, who's gonna think what if I go up there and get saved? You know who's doing that? The devil. Your flesh. Ain't nobody saved gonna think anything about it. There ain't nobody saved that's gonna look down on you for going to the altar and getting saved. Only the devil and those people that are lost are the people that are gonna say something. But the devil kept putting that in my mind. And I was sitting in a church of a couple hundred, 150, 200 people, time after time, walking out lost because I was too worried. And until it gets to the point where you say, you know what, I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what anybody else does. I need to get to the Savior. Maybe the other Roman soldiers were going to tell that centurion, don't go. He's not going to answer your prayers. He's not going to listen to you. He's not going to help you. I'll tell you what, the Savior wants to. Sometimes He tests our faith. Boy, that's some testing the faith right there. Jesus had not been on the scene very long. But this centurion knew enough. He had put his faith, true faith in Jesus. And this time, he was headed in his testing faith. Testing faith is going not knowing what the answer may be. If you come to the altar to get saved, I can tell you what the answer is going to be. If you pray tomorrow, if you get saved today, you put that true faith in Jesus, hey, I know what the answer is going to be. But you could come up tomorrow and find out that you got cancer. And you say, God, please touch me. And you please heal me. I'll tell you what, the answer sometimes may not be what you want it to be. That's that test of faith. That's what it is. You go to Jesus not knowing the answer. I don't know what the answer is for that. Ryan Marlowe. I keep on calling Brian. So I got Brian stuck in my head now. I don't know what the answer is for that Hannah Lee. I don't know what it is for Brother Pat Hole or Harry or Mark and those. I don't know. But I'm still going to the Savior. This man didn't know, but he knew he needed to go to. He didn't know for sure that God was going to answer his prayer. He didn't know that the Savior was the Savior, but he had dependence and devotion enough to the Savior. Said, I'm putting my true faith in Him, and I'm putting that testing faith. I'm going to Him, not knowing if He'll answer this prayer, but I'm going to Him anyway. That's what verse number 6 is. Number 3. And I meant to get you the definition of this one to go with it. I know what the word means a little bit. But number 3 in verses 7 through 10. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Then when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. That's that temperate faith. That's that temperate faith. That's that, you know what? I am nothing, Lord. And I know I am. Well, I know I'm not. However you want to look at it. Lord, I am nothing. I'm not worthy to be saved tonight. I'm not worthy. I'm not bragging tonight, but let me bring back to the Lord what God can do for you if you're lost. I had the filthiest mouth. I didn't know that there was a language outside of cussing before I got saved. I'd already started drinking. I was doing a bunch of the wicked mess. I ran around with a bunch of dope heads and drug addicts before I got saved. I wasn't much interested in it. But I know if I'd have stayed around, I probably would have. And so I know tonight I'm not worthy to stand behind this pulpit. I'm not worthy that God should answer my prayers. I was not worthy, brother, 22 years ago when He answered my prayer for salvation. I didn't deserve it. I met my wife 4 years later. My wife was a drunkard and a drug addict herself. I'm not trying to put her down, but God took that. She didn't have to take. Listen, I didn't have to. I never seen anything like it in my life. I didn't even realize it. I knew she was a drunkard when we met, but I didn't even know the amount of drugs Because not long after we started dating, she got saved, and she never looked back, never did any of it. I never saw her do any of it. You know why? Because Jesus can take care of that. Jesus is the one. That's why that temperate faith is knowing that we do not deserve. Hey, we deserve nothing but hell. We deserve to be hung on that cross. Listen, you may think, oh, I'm reading to the preacher's home. You deserve just as much as Barabbas did to be hung on that cross. It's time to stop playing around with God. Stop playing around with church. If you're here tonight, you're lost. You quit playing church. You come to this altar tonight. Get saved. I'm telling you what, God's not going to keep passing by. It wasn't a coincidence that at the right time Jesus passed by this man's way. You read how many times that Jesus went through these towns. He went through some of them just once or twice. He went to his own town just once or twice. You know why? Because nobody there would believe in him. That woman at the well, far as we know, that's the only time he passed by that way. Don't you play around with church. Don't you play around with the Holy Spirit of God. When God convicts you and deals with your heart, you need to come to this altar and be saved, because he may not pass back by. That centurion realized that and said, you know what? I can't miss out on this opportunity. It's not about me. It's about my servant. I don't deserve this, Lord. If you'll just touch my servant and heal him, eternally grateful. That's that temperate faith. That's that know that I do not deserve it. That's true meekness. Knowing that you do not deserve what we've got. I don't deserve it. I'm reserved to stand behind this pulpit. This is the most sacred desk in the country, in the world. If they offered me the opportunity to be the president of the United States tonight, it would be a demotion from where I stand right now. You do not understand the importance of standing behind this desk. You do not understand the importance of preaching the gospel, of seeing people. In the time now, 13 years that I've been preaching, the times that I've seen people under conviction never to enter the church again. You don't understand the importance. And I know that I'm not worthy and do not deserve it. I know that there's far better preachers with a lot better vocabulary and can speak a lot better than me standing behind the pulpit tonight. I know I don't deserve it. As this man understood, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. But if you'll just speak the words, I know that he can be healed. That's that temperate faith. Lord, I'm not worthy. God, I don't deserve for you to save me. I don't deserve for you to save my wife or my kids. I don't deserve for you to use me, Lord. God, I pray, Father, for wisdom. God, that's that temperate faith. Last of all, in verses 10 through 13 here, verses 10 through 13 says, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. You know what that is? That's trust and faith. That centurion didn't see it. That centurion didn't see. He didn't have no cell phone. Call up his servant. Hey, are you better? He didn't have Marco Polo or one of these, or Instagram, or all these other apps, TikTok, and he didn't have none of that stuff. He had to take the Savior at his word. That's trust and faith. That's what it is when you get saved. That's trust and faith, believing by faith what that Bible says, and putting your faith and trust in Jesus that he'll save you.
You'll save you tonight if you'll come to this altar. Trusting in faith is, have you ever prayed something before? There's three answers to a prayer. There's three answers to a prayer. There's yes, there's no, and then there's wait. Yes, no, and wait. And I know it's hard sometimes. There's prayer requests. I've been waiting 22 years for an answer. Prayer requests I've been waiting 22 years for. From the moment that we had children, we began to pray for them, trusting that God would save your unworthy soul. He's not going to force you, but you've got to come by the same blood, Jesus Christ, that I had to come by. It's trust and faith. Just believing that God will save your souls. Trust and faith. There's times, there's been times where I've got up and prayed. I mean, there has been, it's few and far between now, but there have been times where I prayed and got an answer just like that. There have been some times where I've got a prayer and asked a prayer and prayed and got an answer just like that. Then there's some that I've been praying for 22 years. There's some that I prayed for 12 years before I saw them answer. There's some that I prayed for 14 years. Some I prayed for just a few years. Some that I prayed for once or twice. Ain't it great that sometimes when your Father just takes care of your needs, even when you don't deserve it? Ain't it great when your Father takes care of your needs before you even ask? That's what having a Heavenly Father is about. See, He don't have to take care. If you're here tonight and you're lost, He don't have to take care of you because you're not His. He only has to take care of His own. And only those that have been born again, saved by the grace of God, only those are His tonight. If you're not born again, if you've not been saved by God's grace, you do not belong to Him. You belong to your father, the devil. And I'm going to tell you what. Your father, your devil, he's going to treat you like a father of this world. He's going to neglect you. He's not going to care for you. He's not going to take care of your needs. He doesn't delight in you. All he cares about is dragging you to hell. And that's it. But if you'll trust Christ, if you'll be devoted to the Savior as this man was, that said, I don't care what everybody else says, I'm putting trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing, I'm going to be saved tonight. Or if you are saved, you say, hey, by God's grace, hey, I don't know where the money's going to come for this. I just trust the Lord it's going to take care of it. There's no need to keep getting worried about it. Worked up about it. It's done what's done. If it was a mistake, then so be it. But I didn't feel like it was. Maybe this will be the best vehicle we have for the next 20 years. I don't know. It'll take about that long to make it worth it. But that's trust and faith. Trusting in faith. You know what's trusting in faith? 4 years ago, never stepping foot in that house over there, but knowing that that's the house that God wanted us to have. That's trusting faith. I hope in your short lives, that your mother and I have showed you enough that we trust in our Savior. Paul told Timothy, in faith, you'll be an example of the believers. Do you got that kind of faith tonight? Could you, if God told you to move to another place and buy a house without stepping foot in it, could you do that? That's trust and faith. That centurion had no idea whether the answer was really answered or not. He just believed in Christ, his Savior, enough to believe he answered the prayer. That's trust and faith. Do you trust him tonight?
Are you saved? Have you put your faith and trust in Him? Do you have true faith as this man going to the right person? Do you have testing faith, knowing what, not knowing whether the answer will be, the prayer will be met, but just trust, testing in faith? Do you have that temperate faith, going, knowing we don't deserve it, but still going to the Savior? And last of all, trusting faith, going on without seeing the answer. Sometimes you'll see it. Sometimes you'll see it like that leopard saw the answer right then and there. But that centurion just trusted Christ. Have you trusted Him tonight? Have you put full faith in Him and dependence on the Savior? If not, you need to come to this altar tonight. Let's all stand. My Heavenly Father, I thank You for the day that You've made, Lord. I pray for those that You're speaking to, God, that need to be saved, and those of us, God, that need to put our dependence on the Savior, our devotion on the Savior. May we fully do that tonight, God. Lord, those that are lost, bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.